Everyone needs a pastor. A visit to the Pastor's Study brings biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you and pastoral ministry from those with proven experience in Christian service. Our time together will be lively, sometimes controversial, always useful, and never dull. Welcome to the study of Pastor Bill Shishko.
Pastor Bill Shishko here with you. Hey, it's great to have you with us for another visit to the Pastor's Study. Well, there's no doubt that music has a unique power. Music, once admitted to the soul, becomes a sort of spirit and never dies, wrote one. Music touches emotionally where words can't alone, stated another. Music acts like a magic key to which the most tightly closed heart opens, said yet another. The Greek philosopher Plato was wary of musical influences in his ideal republic. To disturb modes of music is to unsettle the most fundamental political and social conventions, he wrote. Adolf Hitler used music to galvanize a nation, particularly the youth of a nation, and to manipulate for his evil purposes. More than anything else, it was the music of the 1960s that captured a generation. That music and its power remains part of the cultural narrative of our own day. Music has been a part of society's life from its earliest years. Early in the Bible book of Genesis in chapter 4, we read of Jubal. We get our word Jubilee from that name. Jubal was the father of all those who play with the lyre and the pipe. On the one hand, musical instruments that make use of strings and wind are simply extensions of the human vocal cords and windpipe. But they're more. They're used to make music, that magic key that opens human hearts like nothing else. That's why music is such an important part of worship, and why the new heavens and the new earth are, among other things, a great concert including trumpets and lutes and harps and tambourines and cymbals. Read Psalm 150 in your Bible. What a thrilling picture of eternity that is. And it's most interesting to me that the Bible, the Word of God, gives a special place to music from the lips and hearts of children. Again in the book of Psalms, Psalm 8 in the second verse, we read, "Out of the mouth of babes and infants you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger." Over 1,000 years later, the gospel writer Matthew refers to this as he describes children in the temple exuberantly crying, "Hosanna, save, we pray." Now, what was probably done by singing was, said Jesus, a fulfillment of Psalm 8 and verse 2, "Out of the mouth of babes and infants you have prepared praise." The musical praise from the youngest of children was a real strength before Jesus' enemies. The biblically formed music that was part of the lives of those children was both a source of strength to them and a strong message that, well, at least for a time, silenced the opponents of Christ. Whoever captures the music of a generation, particularly the younger generation, captures the minds and the hearts of that generation. Music, once admitted to the soul, becomes a sort of spirit and never dies. I don't know of any Christian music that has captured the minds and hearts of a generation more than the richly biblical, thought-provoking, memorable, and what has been called the melodically addictive music of Judy Rogers. Our 6 children grew up with Judy's music, and perhaps your children did too. If not, well, then you should get to know this unique music that really does act like a magic key to which the most tightly closed heart opens. Judy Rogers, well then Judy Belcher, was born and raised in the Appalachian Mountains of southwestern Virginia. Her father and mother were committed Christians, and both of them loved music. Judy learned to play the ukulele and then graduated to guitar. Soon she and her sister Becky were singing in local churches and clubs. In 1971, Judy was married to Wayne Rogers and soon became both a pastor's wife and a mother, eventually of 3 children. Her songs grew out of a desire to influence the hearts of her own children. Wayne urged her to consider developing songs based on the Children's Catechism and the Westminster Shorter Catechism, well-known and easily remembered summaries of the teachings of the Bible and of historic Christianity. Well, the fruit of that was Why Can't I See God?, which was released in 1986. Since that time, Judy Rogers has produced 6 musical collections for children, in addition to Why Can't I See God?, and Judy has recorded and released Go to the Ant, children's songs based on the Bible's Book of Proverbs, Guard Your Heart, Teach Me While My Heart is Tender, Blessed, songs for the Beatitudes, and most recently, Consider God's Critters, songs based on animals in the Bible and the lessons that they teach. Her albums Stand Up and Walkin' Wise are particularly aimed at winning the hearts of teens, and Judy also has many songs, she's recorded over 100 of them, geared for adults. But it's her children's music, truly Christian children's music, that we're zeroing in on for this edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study. Christian music for children with our special guest, Judy Rogers. And you will get to hear some of her songs as the program progresses. Now, remember that this program enables you to call in with your questions. Live call-in number, 631-955-5400, 631-955-5400. And you can also text your questions at the special number for Pastor Bill, 516-367-0391. Again, that's for text questions only. Pastor Bill at 516-367-0391. But for now, Judy Rogers, welcome to A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you here all the way from the Appalachian Mountains in southwestern Virginia. Judy, you not only developed the words for your songs, but you also composed the music, right?
That's right. I don't read music, oddly enough. I compose the melodies in my mind with my guitar, and yet God has blessed me without that musical education to be able to, as you said, compose over 100 songs.
When you're producing both the lyrics and the music, what are some of your guiding principles, Judy?
The very first principle, always, is faithfulness to Scripture. I really stand in the fear of God for that, because I never want to sing, even as a preacher doesn't ever want to preach anything that's not true to the Word, I try to be extremely faithful to the message of the Bible, and have been corrected by my husband, my in-house theologian, and another person or two for not having something exactly as it should be stated, and I have submitted to that, and I'm very thankful for that.
And Judy, if I'm right from our discussions in the past, you actually submit your songs to your husband and perhaps to others so they can be a check on your faithfulness, correct?
Absolutely. It is such a safeguard.
Yeah, that's unique, and that's wonderful, Judy. Tell me what else are your guiding principles as you produce both the lyrics and the music, too?
Well, I want very much to have songs, as you have mentioned, that are memorable, that flow, that have much fluidity, that are not hard to sing. I find that melodies that we've learned even as children that we continue to sing, they were easy to remember. They were catchy. And so if you combine a powerful message with a very memorable melody, you have a great combination so that children will, hopefully, in years to come, even as adults, and I've actually gotten, now that I'm the grandmother of 10 children, I've actually had people email me and say, I used to go to your camp and I learned your songs and now my children are singing your songs and I can't forget those lyrics. Yeah. So praise God for that. Yeah. That's definitely another guideline for me.
Yeah, and your lyrics aren't, or the music isn't trite either, which I appreciate. It's catchy but not trite. And even in preparing the program, Judy, it was hard to select what to put in, because so many of these songs, if not all of them, just stick in our own minds over years of hearing them. Judy, you talk about music that grips hearts and goes to the heart. Now, as a preacher, that's language that I love. What do you mean by that? And how do you write lyrics and compose melodies that really go to the heart?
Well, Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. And so I'm thinking, how can I grip the hearts of these children? How can we, and I thought of this very much as a parent as well. How do I win the heart of my child? Because this is, of course, it is that part of us that is the center of our being, where we make our decisions, our thoughts, our feelings, and everything flows from that part of us that is referred to as the heart. And our children are going to be gripped by something. They're either going to be gripped by the things of God and His Word that are lasting, enduring, or they will be gripped by the fading, though sometimes exciting, things of the world. So this was definitely a chief goal after being faithful to Scripture. The Scripture says so much. You can't say, it's like my husband says, you can't say everything in a sermon.
Right,
you,
sure.
You know that.
Yeah, let alone in a song. Right.
Yeah. And
right.
Even, and more so, you can't say everything in a song.
Right.
So I try to choose things that I know, or I hope, are going to go straight to the heart of a child. I've actually had parents come up to me and say, my little boy was very convicted by this particular song that you wrote. He confessed to me that he had been lying. I had another parent come up and say that her six-year-old girl went home after hearing a Go to the Aunt on Responsibility and said, Mama, come and look. I cleaned my room and my little sister's room. Was I responsible? So this was my goal, was to try to not just have music that the parents are going to say, hey, let's put this on because it's entertaining, but let's put on this music that my children are really going to think about, are going to take to heart and act on.
So, Judy, am I right? You pick... When you're thinking of your themes, you think of something that will go to the heart, and then in most cases you're using Scripture or paraphrases of Scripture or illustrations of Scripture, and you just trust that combination under the influence of the Holy Spirit will go to the heart, correct?
Yes, I do, and I also really try to make my tune, the melody that I choose, be very fitting to carry the message of the song. For instance, I've told this to other children, young people who have asked me, how do you write songs? And one of the things that I tell them is, when I write songs about God and His character, those songs are going to be much more sober-minded, even in the melody that I choose. When I write songs about us, I write songs like Isabel is a Pig.
Which we'll hear in a little bit.
Yes, which we will hear in a little bit. I would say with my apologies, but it's true. And I'm freer than to use a tune that I would call much more fun or enjoyable in that sense. So I think it's very important that we have melodies that really carry the message of the particular song that we're writing about.
I want to emphasize to the audience, I'm not saying there aren't others that compose and do their children's music in this way, but at least from my experience, if this is not unique, which is one of a kind, it's close to that. This is music that is faithful to the Word of God, and you, as you hear the tunes, you'll see how fitting they are to the themes. In just a moment, we're going to have an example. Judy, one of the many things I appreciate in your music is that God as the creator is a dominant theme in your songs. Give us some specifics about that.
Yes, I have written songs that... the first one that I ever wrote is God Made Me. And I think it's very important for our children to understand that we aren't here by accident. we are here because of this great and awesome Creator God. And from there, I went on to write songs like Out of the Mouths of Children, which talk about the greatness and the majesty of God and His heavens. Another one actually is on. The heavens declare the glory of God. It's so important. And, oh, well, and then, of course, in God's Critters, that has songs that definitely talk about creation, oceans of beauty. They all say, you know, that's a great thing, Bill, that I love, is that the Bible shows us over and over that creation shouts. Creation is, it's shouting the greatness of God. And every time I see a beautiful sunset and remember that this great Creator God has provided that, I often pray that God will cause those people who are struggling with trying not to believe in God to bow their knee to Him. So, yes, very important that we don't just sing about Jesus or just sing about praise, but that we understand that this is a great Creator God.
And what else is significant in your music, most of it anyway, and certainly the children's music, is you actually make use of children to sing these things, and that only enhances the fact that out of the mouths of infants and babes, you have ordained both strength and praise. Well, we've talked about God Made Me and everything. We'll be back with Judy Rogers in just a moment, but let's just hear this. Note the tune that she uses, note the words, and note the involvement of the children. Let's listen.
God made me and everything that is in what I see. For His own glory, God made everything and He. He made the sea, the mountain high, the big bright rainbow in the sky. For His own glory, God made everything
and me.
God made the sunshine bright, stars that twinkle in the night. He made the butterfly, see the butterfly.
God Made Me and Everything. That's actually from Judy's first CD, Teach Me. Well, it's actually from the compilation, Teach Me While My Heart Is Tender, but you can also get it from her first CD, Why Can't I See God? Judy, who are the children that you use in performing your music?
Well, at the time, I was at the Calcedon Presbyterian Church some, 30-some years ago. Don't think I'm old because of that.
Oh, Judy, in our circles, all ladies remain at age 29.
No, I am so grateful for the years that God has given me. And we use the children in that church, about 20 children from age 3 to age 13. And my children sang on it, my 3 children, my nieces and nephews. And, Bill, we were in and out of the studio in a half a day with those children.
Amazing. Isn't that something?
It is truly amazing.
Were some of these your children, too, right?
Pardon?
Some of those were your children as well. I'm not sure in that one. Okay.
I said that my 3 children sang. Yes.
Right, okay. Yeah, and I love the one in one of your albums. I forget which one it is. I guess it is Teach Me While My Heart Is Tender. You've got this picture of your husband, Wayne, off to the left, and he's teaching these children. Those are yours, and there's the only thing is 4 of them in there.
Those are our grandchildren.
Oh, your grandchildren. Oh, you have, what, 10, I think, right now, right?
Wow. Yes.
You know, Judy, as I was listening to particularly that one in preparing the program the other day, I have to admit, I was thinking of the way With your type of imagination, C.S. Lewis depicts in The Last Battle the end of the world and the beginning of new creation, and it's singing mm-hmm. and a dance. And you've almost got the same kind of a thing at creation itself with God made me and everything. My guest today is Judy Rogers, and Judy's going to be with us for the length of the program. If you'd like to call in with your questions to Judy, 631-955-5400, 631-955-5400, or you can text me at Pastor Bill, 516-367-0391. For text questions only, 516-367-0391. You'll hear more of Judy. We've already mentioned the song, but you'll hear it after a message from the voice of A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
That great city, New York. Metropolitan New York is the largest city in the United States. And with a population of over 20 million people, Metro New York is one of the largest cities in the world. And what's more, Metro New York is home to people from every nation of the world. To reach Metro New York is to reach the world. But churches faithful to historic Reformation Christianity in the Metro New York area are few and far between. The mission fields of Metro New York are America's richest and most neglected. Reformation Metro New York is an agency by which the Orthodox Presbyterian Church is planting and developing biblically faithful churches and church ministries in the Metro New York area. Through Reformation Metro New York, you can help promote the outreach of this program, A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and other projects designed to further the ongoing reformation of the church. That and church planting are the great passions of Reformation Metro New York. For more information, check out the website at reformationmetrony.org, where you'll get a personal look at the ministries of the churches, pastors, evangelists, and teachers of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in the area, and you'll learn how you can be a part of our labors. We need your help. Here's the site again, reformationmetrony.org. Thanks for your interest and your help. Remember that great city, New York. To reach Metro New York is to reach the world. Now back to today's edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
Isabel is a pig with a ring in her snout. You can dress Dizzy up, but you can't take her out. She will jump in the middle of a big mud puddle, 'cause Isabel is a pig.
Now a pretty little girl when her temper shows looks like a pig with a ring in her nose. All the cute little ribbons and ruffles and rings look silly when you do and foolish things.
You can dress up a pig, but you can't take her out. With a bright gold ring and her pink pig snout, she will jump in the middle of a big mud puddle, 'cause a pig is a pig is a pig.
Now pretty little girls in the crying pout look like Izzy with a ring and her snout. All the buttons and bows and curls and lace don't look pretty with a grumpy face.
You can dress like a pig, but you can't take her out. With a bright gold ring and her pink pig snout, she will jump in the middle of a big mud puddle, 'cause a pig is a pig is a pig.
Don't be a little girl who loves to obey. Listen to your parents every day. Don't like a pig who wallows in the mud. What she wears can't make what she does look good.
Isabel is a pig with a ring in her snout. You can dress Izzy up, but you can't take her out. She'll jump in the middle of a big mud puddle, 'cause Isabel is a pig.
Isabel is a pig. You can get it either on Judy Rogers' Go to the Ant, or from Teach Me While My Heart is Tender. And I hope you ladies won't be offended. It was a toss-up between using that and Barney is a Hog. Just consider
God's grace. Bill, you might mention, or I can mention, that this is definitely not from my own, it's not my brainchild. This was God speaking in Proverbs 11:22. like a gold ring and a pig snout.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. Well, that's a good example, Judy. You just took the text of the scripture, but the tune. In fact, our engineer Rick and I were just about, you talk about melodically addictive. And we're about ready to sing it along in here. My guest today on A Visit to the Pastor's Study is Judy Rogers. Now we're talking about children's music. If you'd like to call with a question, 631-955-5400, 631-955-5400, or you can text a question, 516-367-0391. Text to Pastor Bill, 516-367-0391. Judy, I know it's hard to generalize when we talk about something like children's music and Christian children's music. There's so much of it. But from what you've heard, what you've learned from, what are some of the weaknesses you see in some of modern children's music, children's Christian music?
Well, I want to say that I'm very thankful for the music that is out there. There is a lot of good Christian children's music that seems to emphasize praise to God, which is very important. I'm not familiar with everything that's out there, but I guess some of the weakness that I see is that I do believe much of it does go more to emphasizing entertainment and maybe praise alone without getting into the depths of how do you live as a Christian child.
Yeah,
and my goal was to write songs that would go perhaps deeper or maybe more of a full spectrum of helping children deal with various issues in their lives at a very young age.
Yeah, it's an interesting point about what's called doxological music, praise music, which is wonderful, as you say. Yet the scriptures are given that we might be thoroughly equipped unto every good work.
Yes.
And I think that's kind of your burden when you're producing the music for children, right?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I have a song on Why Can't I See God called Where Do You Learn How to Love and Obey? To point our children to the fact that they can find out everything they need to know because God's Word deals in principles. It may not tell you whether to cross the street or not, but it tells you to obey your parents.
Yeah.
And so praise God that His Word is easy to understand in the basic issues of life. And this was my goal.
Yeah. Well, also, Judy, you have a childlike faith. I didn't say childish, but childlike faith and a childlike joy. And that also communicates, not only communicates in what you actually sing, but obviously it's percolating in your heart and what you're working on. Judy, that brings us, I think when you mentioned where do you learn how to love and obey, that's one of the first Judy Rogers songs our children cut their teeth on. And it the tune always brings you back to the fact that it's in the Bible alone. Only there can we learn how to love and obey our great God. Now that, though, brings us to this issue of children who are brought up on good music, like Judy Rogers' music and others. And we know, painfully, that many young people brought up in the church leave it during their teenage college years. Judy, what's your opinion about how much, or maybe a little, music, or the lack of it, plays a part in that?
I think it plays a very large part in it, and there's some disconnect along the way. It seems like young children are so anxious to please their mama and their daddy when he's at home, and all of a sudden, around 11, 12, 13, somewhere in there, they seem to often be disconnected from their youth, from their childhood, and all those things that were so meaningful. And they then move on to a more worldly type of music that can be very destructive. I think that one of the best ways to, well, first of all, you have to win your children's hearts. If you do not have your children's heart on an ongoing basis, and I think what happens is because parents have been so accustomed to telling their children what to do and seeing a general obedience, they continue to do that and they continue to talk at their children instead of talking with their children.
Yeah.
And exploring their children's hearts and their children's thoughts and desires. And we still can keep that do as I say sort of thing and drive a wedge between us and our children and ruin a relationship. I would also say that, the Tripp brothers, Paul and David, have excellent, excellent books and teaching on how to win your heart, the heart of your children.
Yeah.
Shepherding a child's heart. If you don't have their heart,
yeah,
it doesn't matter how much.
Shepherding a Child's Heart by Ted Tripp. That's the book that I tell people I wish had been written when we started raising our children as well.
Yes.
You know, and
yes.
I can't help but think, Judy, of your song in Pilgrim's Praise, what you did with Craig Pittman, on passing through Vanity Fair. Which actually we used on our tribute to Pilgrim's Progress program that you can access, people can access from the archives. But not only the words, but that kind of slippy, slidey tune that you use in there is a metaphor for how transitory life is. To my mind, anyway, that's a beautiful example of it. Judy, one thing that's been on my mind a lot, of course, we're both products of the 60s, even though you do remain 29, but protest music captured the hearts of our generation, the 60s generation. And, of course, there's a lot of protest in the Bible as well. Is there such a thing as Christian protest music?
You know, I believe that there is much Christian protest music that we sing really often, because the Bible says that God hates, in Proverbs 6:13, that there are six things. Oh, I think you're going to play that.
Well, I think so. That's a fitting introduction.
God hates and so that is a protest. God, this loving creator God, actually hates things. And we need to know what those things are. And I think any time that we are singing a song that tries to point out the sin and the wickedness and the evil of this world, we are protesting. But we're doing it, I think the difference is we're doing it in a caring way, because we long to see this world come under the dominion of Christ. And I think our problem is we don't have as much of an avenue to get it out there for the world to hear. We're singing it.
Right.
But we don't have that platform that Joan Baez and some of those people had back in the day.
Sure, that's right. Well, since we've mentioned it, this, folks, is the song. Judy, we heard you, I think, when you introduced this in New Jersey way back when we were both much younger. But the tune gripped us then. It still does. This, to my mind, is an ideal example of taking biblical words, and we're dealing with things God says he hates, and using a tune that, once again, is melodically addictive. Let's give it a listen.
There are six things, even seven, that the Lord hates, things he cannot stand. Proud-looking eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that thinks of wicked things to do, feet that run to evil too. Anyone who loves to lie about others, and one who causes trouble with his brother.
Judy Rogers' Seven Awful Things, which is in her compilation, Teach Me While My Heart Is Tender, richly biblical, thought-provoking, memorable Judy Rogers music. I cannot hear that, especially the phrase, hands that shed innocent blood, without thinking of the modern genocide, the modern Holocaust.
Yes.
Of the killing of babies in the mother's womb. Judy Rogers with us.
Yes.
From southwestern Virginia. If you'd like to call with a question for Judy, 631-955-5400. Or you can text if you want, 516-367-0391. I've got to take a couple of, about a minute or two, to tell you a little bit about the group of churches presenting this program as part of their outreach to you in this area. The Orthodox Presbyterian Churches in East Haddam, Connecticut, one of our mission churches, in Hamden, Connecticut, in Mount Vernon, New York, in Fresh Meadows, Queens, and right here on Long Island, the Orthodox Presbyterian Churches in Franklin Square, in Syosset, and in Bohemia. So if you're in those areas and you're looking for a faithful church, we can commend these to you. Now, this is, of course, a visit to the pastor's study, and we have growing archives of programs showing the love of Christ in relief work, end-of-life issues, lessons for home missions from foreign missions, and as I mentioned before, a tribute to Pilgrim's Progress that includes, among other pieces, music by Judy Rogers and Craig Pittman. You can get those archives of A Visit to the Pastor's Study at sermonaudio.com. You can just Google in sermonaudio.com, search for A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and that'll come up. Or you can go to our own website, Visit the Pastor's Study. That's all one word, visitthepastorsstudy.org. And we would love to have you like us on Facebook. We value your questions and your comments. Judy Rogers is my guest today. We've been looking at some of her earlier albums. Let's hear a little bit. Hear one from her most recent one, Consider God's Critters. Listen to the story of the ant down under.
Thank you.
That's from Judy Rogers' most recent compilation of songs for children, Consider God's Critters. This is A Visit to the Pastor's Study. I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, and my guest today is Judy Rogers, talking about Christian children's music. If you'd like to call with a question, 631-955-5400, or you can text 516-367-0391. Hey, before I forget, Judy, where can people get your music?
You can go to www.judyrogers.com.
All right. All one word, right? Well, not W, but Judy, just JudyRogers.com. They can
yep.
get it, right?
JudyRogers.com.
Okay, yeah. Tell us about some of your other musical collections and why you compose the specific pieces. You mentioned Pilgrim's Praise, for example.
Yes, that was actually a sort of a commission for Craig Pittman and myself to write songs to go with a school play at the Calvin Christian School many years ago, and it was just such a precious privilege to be able to get into that beloved old story and write songs for that. And so that was how that got started.
Okay,
and my song Sovereign Grace, which is the last song, I had already written before in honor of some young men who had been faithful to the Lord in their walk. And it fit right in for Pilgrim entering into the celestial city, crossing the river and looking back at his life and the sovereign grace of God.
Yeah, so such a powerful song, even in the tribute to Pilgrim's Progress that we did. We purposely did it twice. I mean, it's kind of a kind of an anthem for those of us who know and love the doctrines of grace. What about the Beatitudes one, Judy? We don't hear as much about that.
Beatitudes is one of those that is definitely for children and adults. There are children singing on virtually every song. Some of them, like the song on Being Merciful, is very much directed toward children and sung by children and me to try to emphasize, because I believe that one of the things that's missing in Christian families these days is children who are so unintentionally self-centered. I don't think parents have that in mind, but our children need to learn how to do acts of mercy and not just leave it up to the adult. So this is definitely one that I would say is for the entire family.
Oh, excellent.
So important.
Judy, we've got a question from one of our listeners. Pastor Bill, if you and Judy wouldn't mind, as one who started with a ukulele, I'm sure this person's talking about himself or herself, can you tell me more about your upbringing?
Yes, I was brought up in a Christian family in the coal mining mountains of southwestern part of Virginia, and my parents, my dad had not been a Christian when my mom and he started courting, and she told him she would not pursue the relationship if he did not come to know the Lord, and that has stood as a beacon to our entire family in terms of those young people that are considering marriage. They look back at my mom and dad's example. And from there, you know, my mom and dad, they didn't have all the books and the DVDs and all the things that we have today. They loved the Lord. They knew his word, and they sought to train us up in the love and fear of God. And they didn't preach at us, but they taught us well, and mostly they lived. It was their example. Yeah. It was truly their example. Everything they did, serving in the church, they did joyfully. And that is a powerful, powerful thing for parents to learn today, is that you can preach all day long to your kids, you can catechize them, you can insist that they do certain things, but if you are not living it and have the joy of the Lord, they will more than likely not respond in a way that's going to please you.
Yeah, and Judy, of course, both of your parents love music. Would you just pick up the ukulele and decide you were going to teach yourself how to use it?
No, I picked up my dad's Gibson guitar.
I thought you started with the ukulele.
When I was about 12,
yeah,
and it was way too big for my little hands and arms to embrace. So I laid it down in my lap. It's hilarious. And I think they saw that I was determined I was going to learn one way or the other, so they went to a jewelry shop in town, and they were selling a couple of ukuleles, and one had fallen off the shelf and broke. And they glued it back, and Dad said, well, let's get her this one. They charged him $4, and they said, let's get her this one, and we'll see what she does with it, and then we'll go from there. And, boy, I went to town on that little ukulele.
Little did your parents realize, going from a $4 ukulele to one who would be such a model for children's music. One of the things that Chris Judy just alluded to it is the actually even have an album called Stand Up, the importance of standing for the Lord. And we just got time for one more song. Let's listen to the songs.
And could I just say quickly?
Sure.
I wrote those songs because my children were teenagers at the time,
So
my music sort of flowed with as my children grew. And I saw their friends and them going through and facing many issues that I wanted to help them through song to be able to confront.
Yeah, you wanted them to stand up, right?
Absolutely.
All right, let's hear the song. Judy Rogers' album, Stand Up, and obviously the song is Stand Up, thanks to Satya, who called. Judy, we're developing, I think, a whole new generation of Judy Rogers listeners. Satya called and just wanted to thank you for the presentation. Great. Hey, Judy, we just got a minute or so. Can you help parents with some practical things to do to help win those hearts and ears with God-glorifying music?
Yes, I think you need to start them early. I have folks that get these CDs and start playing them while the babe is still in the womb. And they surround them with this music and other, any good Christian music that glorifies and centers on the Lord is great. But I am so thankful when parents start their children out on these songs, because these songs are so rich in the Word of God. And that's the most important thing. There's lots of beautiful music. There's lots of good music. We've enjoyed a plethora of music in our house, a wide range from country to bluegrass to classical, popular. But in terms of winning your children's hearts and having music be effective, I say start at an early age. Keep it in the car. Keep it. I have a song on Go to the Ant from Proverbs called Talk to Me. And it's based on, really on Deuteronomy that says, you will speak with them when you rise up and when you lie down and when you walk in the way. And my modern version is when you ride in the car. And I think it's so important to just have a joyful conversation about God going so much of the time, and then have that music there to back up those things.
Magnificent. Well, wonderful to have Judy Rogers with us today as our guest as we deal with Christian music for children. I remind you again of the quotation I used at the beginning. Music acts like a magic key to which the most tightly closed heart opens. And Judy, one more time, tell us how people can contact you. Give us your I love your email address. But give us your email address and where people can order your music.
Yes. Yes. JudyRogers.com, and that's R-O-G, not R-O-D-G.
Right.
JudyRogers.com, and email is JudyPsalm8, based on Out of the Mouths of Children, my theme verse that my husband thought of. And that's a great concept, Out of the Mouths of Children, and babes, God is a drone praise, to silence his foes, his enemies.
Wonderful.
Wonderful. That's fantastic.
That's easy to
Judy
remember.
Psalm 8 at Judy Rogers.
Judy Rogers. It's just Judy Rogers. For email you, it's Judy Rogers Psalm 8. That's it. At what? Gmail.com?
At JudyRogers.com.
Oh, at JudyRogers.com. There you go.
Yep.
Okay. So give it one more time. You give it so I don't confuse them.
Okay. My email is JudyPsalm8 at JudyRogers.com.
Okay.
And then the website is just JudyRogers.com.
Okay. There you go. So Judy Rogers Psalm 8 at JudyRogers.com. Jay Adams, who was really the founder of the biblical counseling movement, said Judy Rogers' music is one of a kind. Biblically concerned parents should obtain her music at all cost. And another person said, I love this, Judy Rogers' music is the music of heaven, weaving together the three great virtues, goodness, truth, and beauty. Judy, thank you for being my guest today on A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
Oh, thank you. I have thoroughly enjoyed it. I pray that God will use this time to cause parents to start thinking about more about getting this music for their children, for their home.
Excellent.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you, Pastor.
You're most welcome. We've come to the end of another Visit to the Pastor's Study. My thanks to Judy Rogers for being with us today. Also to Pastor Wayne Rogers for loaning her to us for the program. Remember, tomorrow is the Lord's Day. Set apart time to worship the Lord in a church that is faithful to the Word of God. Any feedback or questions, you can email me at oneword visitpastorbill@gmail.com. And never forget, everyone needs a pastor.
You've been listening to A Visit to the Pastor's Study, a ministry of Reformation Metro New York. Our website is www.reformationmetrony.org. Again, that's www.reformationmetrony.org. For more information on the program, check out our website at www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. That's www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. Listen in next week at 12 noon for another edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study. Remember, everyone needs a pastor.